Are you a vet or a public service person or police officer or somebody who's dealt with trauma? I got an amazing guest for you. His name is Robert Wheeler, and we just had such a beautiful conversation about mental health and tenacity, and he really has turned all the trauma, PTSD, anxiety, all of the things he has been through, and he has created Battle Fitted. And he is dropping gems here about mindset and fitness and radical ownership and all of those things. So I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. And if you know someone, especially a man who is like struggling with this stuff but just doesn't want to talk to anyone, this may be the episode that you need to send to them. All right, here we go. What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And today I am so excited. I've been really wanting to talk to this gentleman because my husband is a vet. This gentleman is a vet, and his name is Robert Wheeler. Now, he has 10 years as a Navy veteran, 17 years in as a federal police officer, and the founder of Battle Fitted. Now, he has a coaching brand that is built on this one mission, which is turning pain into progress. Now, after confronting PTSD and anxiety and the hidden battles that come with service, Rob rebuilt his life around fitness and mindset and radical ownership. And now he is here to help others do the same. And that's why I'm excited to have this conversation with you, Robert, because I know that this is going to be a real talk about men's mental health and resilience and leadership and forging strength and all of that. So welcome to Straight Talk, Robert. It's good to have you.
Thank you. I'm good to be here. And that radical change, I like that. I've never heard that before. So that's pretty cool. I'm going to steal that from you.
Yeah, please do, because that's what you do. Steal it away. I'm really glad you're here. And, you know, I talked a little bit about you. So I know that you are a Navy vet and you are also an officer and all that great stuff. But I want to know a little bit more about you. So let our audience know who Robert Wheeler is. Who are you?
I don't think we have enough time for that. But so a 10-year Navy vet, 17 years total law enforcement between federal, the military, and actually as a Florida State Certified Police Officer. My story is pretty crazy. I was married for 18 years, got divorced. I have 3 kids that I love to death. 2 of them are adults. My daughter's 25. My middle son is 24. And my youngest is 13. And after going through hell mentally with everything that I struggled with, I found kind of my outlet and my way out. And now I use that to help as many people as I can.
Well, I'm sure that finding that outlet or your way out, as you put it, was not an easy journey, right? Because I think that, you know, when people go through things, at least this is what I see sometimes when I see, like, let's say a big guru out there telling you how to make your millions, right? They forget the steps. Like, they forget that that you were here once and then you got there. It's not like you just got there and now everybody could do it. So tell me about that, Robert. Like, there must have been a dark season or moment in time or something that was happening that started to shift your perspective. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, as a veteran and as a police officer, the problem with that is when we leave service, whether it's from being a first responder or being a veteran in the military, we have structure, we have routine, we have discipline, we have manual. Everything tells us exactly how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, why to do it. And as soon as you leave service, it goes away, right? You lose it overnight. And you might know this from like your husband's experiences. You lose everything, excuse me. We lose everything overnight. And for someone, if you've had trauma, whether it's in the military or not, or as a cop or not, or as a firefighter or not, you don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how to process it. You don't know how to get out of that. And I always operated very negatively. Everything was my life sucks. I hate this. I don't like you. You know, I just very bad attitude. And I kept saying to myself over and over again, like, why am I having these bad days? Why is all this bad stuff happening to me? Why? With no answer, no rhyme, no reason. And that caused a huge problem. You know, it takes two to tango. And there's a lot of things that my wife didn't give me, my first wife. But I gave her emotional abuse. Okay. I gave her, thank God I didn't cause any physical abuse, but anger issues, yelling, screaming, things that her or my kids didn't need to hear or need to be a part of. So after I got divorced and shortly meeting my current wife, we've been married a year, but I've been with her for 8 years now. I didn't want to operate the same way. Mm-hmm. And she tells a story about, I used to throw what I call adult temper tantrums. I saw everything that my mental health issues was basically adult temper tantrums. I didn't know how to control or regulate my emotions, right? So when I first moved in with her, it was Christmas time. I was supposed to go to my parents' house. I live in Florida. I was supposed to drive 3 hours to Tampa to see my parents. And I left my wallet in a Publix. Not really a big deal, but I flipped out, right? I'm throwing things in the house. I'm yelling. I'm screaming. And it scared the crap out of her. It really bugged her. And she said that was her first red flag. And after she kind of told me that, I realized that I didn't know how to change at first. It didn't happen overnight, but I realized like, I can't keep operating this way or I'm going to destroy this relationship and the next relationship. You have to, you're in this insanity loop, right? Of everything never changing. Mm-hmm. And we all have to have that like breaking point, that wake up call, that why, that moment to say, oh crap, I have to change.
I think it takes a little bit of humbleness too and introspection to do that, right? Because sometimes we just feel like we're validated in that feeling, right? In the trauma, in the anger. Because I used to have a lot of anger issues myself from all the trauma growing up and all that. And I, as much as I wanted to blame my ex-husband, and he did do his wrong, I also emasculated him, right? Because I had to be the boss, the hard one, the this, the that, the things that don't work. It just didn't work, right? I changed that in my second marriage, like you, Robert. Like same thing. It was like kind of like, what am I doing type of thing. So when you realize that, like, did you know that you had some PTSD? Did you know that you had anger issues, or was this just your mode of operation?
No, I mean, at first, not initially. You know, I grew up in that era where my parents never really said, I love you. They didn't mm-hmm. tuck me in. Mm-hmm. My dad's a very hard man. He was a 3-year Navy veteran, but he grew up in a household where he was like the sibling of 5 children. And he didn't necessarily always get fed all the time. Like he had a very hard life. And mm-hmm. obviously that doesn't dismiss how we act or treat people. But I had that trauma. And then in the military, my first command, I was physically abused. I was threatened. I was told I was going to be murdered, like all kinds of like something that you would never expect to happen mm-hmm. happened. And at the time when I first went in and got to this ship, they didn't have females integrated on ships. It was just all male. So it was like a prison system of who's the biggest, who's the baddest.
Yeah.
And me being an undesignated seaman, and for civilians, if you go into the military, the undesignated, that means you don't have a job. And when you don't have a job, you have to do the worst of the worst, take out the trash, mop the floors, you know, everything that you don't want to do, that's essentially your job until you can figure out how to get a job in the military. So all the trauma I faced in the military, we get out as veterans, and most of the time, there's nothing really guiding us to what's next, right?
Yeah.
So whatever job you do in the military, you typically do on the outside. So I was a cop, so I went to become a cop. So now I've carried my trauma from the military. Now I'm getting trauma as a police officer because I'm dealing with the worst and worst of people. So I just stack trauma there. Then in 2017, I get divorced. So I stack trauma there. And then in 2018, in 2018, I left law enforcement after my mom passed. And I decided that I wanted to open a strength and conditioning gym. Fitness is a big persona and part of my life. It's a non-negotiable. So my wife goes and bless her soul, takes out all the loans, all the finances to have me open a gym. I open a gym, I run it for 4 years, and COVID hits and I lose everything. So that puts me in a dark depression. So I'm stacking trauma on trauma on trauma on trauma with no like, and like most veterans or most police officers or most first responders, I didn't want to say anything, right?
As a man, I was going to say that.
I didn't want to feel broken. I didn't want to feel
weak.
I didn't want to feel like my life was, you know, worthless because
all the lies. Yeah, there's so many lies.
Right.
Yeah.
I was lying to myself.
Yeah.
And eventually I found a vet center where I found a wonderful counselor who kind of started me on the process. She's actually the one that kind of put me like on, have a quote, that positive affirmation that works for you. Have, you know, do this, do that. She started to give me the steps, and it wasn't like a VA controlled facility, which is a whole nother story like in itself. It was a vet center, which was like funded nonprofit. So their counselors were wonderful. From there, I tried getting on medication and still there was things lacking and missing. And I'm like, I don't understand this. But I just remember my moment or shift was, like I said, I always operated in the black. I was always like, this sucks. Today sucks. I didn't know how to get out of that shift, that mindset shift. And I was scrolling on Instagram and a post came up and the person said, just practice gratitude. And I'm like, practice gratitude? You're like, believe it or not, this works. This silly, easy thing works, right? Just practice gratitude. Think of one thing you're thankful for, either when you wake up, go to bed, whatever. So me wanting to be like super competitive, I'm like, I'm gonna think of three things that I'm grateful for. And I've been doing this for over a year now.
So me too. I've been doing this for years. It's so good.
Right. Every night I go to bed, right? And it can be the three same things over and over again. It can be three different things. But whether you speak to a God or pray to the universe or just say it out loud, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for this house. I'm thankful I got to move today. I'm thankful for my kids, you know? And realizing that there's a lot of, and especially like even on my podcast, realizing that there's a lot of people that's been through a lot worse than you have. There's always someone worse than you. And if you can think on that, oh my God, to realize how beautiful life is and how amazing life is. And then the second thing I did when I woke up, I would say, I'm going to have a good day. Now, initially the first few months, maybe 3 months, I'd have to say it over and over again. I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to have a good day. But those two things, like those two little tiny things, was the start of me saying, you know what? My life is pretty good. Like, why am I complaining about everything? Why am I upset all the time?
So good. It's so good, right? Because it's the little things that we don't think about. We think we have to make like this ginormous shift. And you don't always have to do that. Not, I mean, sometimes life does that and shifts you in a big way. But sometimes it's just taking the first step to then take the second step and so on. And I agree with you. I started the gratitude thing too, like maybe close to 8 to 10 years ago. And it shifted my entire life. And it was because I realized I'm a lot more blessed than I think I am, you know? And so that really does help. And I know that you have now you have like this, you know, battle-fitted philosophy, right? So your brand is now combining all these things that you've done, right? The fitness, the mindset, the discipline. And I love that. So I wanted you to tell us a little bit, like, how does the three-part framework, if I have that right, I think there's a three-part framework, right? Okay. For somebody who is feeling stuck right now, right? Maybe they're in their own battle right now. How do you use that three-part framework to help someone start getting out of that feeling of being stuck?
That's a great question. And here's the beautiful, amazing thing. Whether you having mental health issues, whether you think you might need a new career path, whether you think you might need a divorce. Now, obviously, as I said to the behavioral health conference I spoke at yesterday, I still think therapy is important. I still think if you need medication is important. At the end of the day, you always have to find what works for you. Some of my teachings may not work, but I do believe that my complete holistic approach can just conquer just about everything. And it starts with my three pillars. So fitness is the first one. And when I mean fitness, I look at, do you do any form of activity? What do you put in your mouth? How do you eat? What do you think about food? What is your relationship with food? What is your relationship with movement and activity? And I always tell people from the fitness nutrition standpoint, there's two things that you have to realize. One, you don't have to be like me and want to go to the gym and lift heavy weights and be strong. And you just have to find the activity you love.
Right.
So find the activity you love, whether that's walking, swimming, biking, fighting, whatever. That is more sustainable than trying to figure out what should I do. And I think a lot of times, especially with the prevalence of social media, where it can help us, it also hinders a lot of us because we see that person with the ripped abs, or we see a fake persona, or the person who's been on all kinds of supplements, maybe even possibly steroids. The liver king of all people was caught doing steroids, and he had this persona of, I don't do steroids, I'm just a healthy person. So you have to find what works for you. So the fitness is paramount. That's the first step. And then as far as the nutrition part of it, I do nutrition guidance, But here's the thing. I never say the word diet because the word diet has the word die in it. And why are you going to die?
I never heard that. That's funny.
Right? Why are you going to try to diet it to be better? And the same thing, all my philosophies is on the principles of being really simple, really easy, right? So with your diet, it's not what you consume necessarily, it's how much you consume. Mm-hmm. We have this huge problem in America with obesity, and it's because of the overconsumption. You know, we go get a bag of chips. Mm-hmm. I had a eating disorder coach on my podcast, and I never even thought about this. She told me that snacks are chemically engineered to make you want to eat more. So you go get that potato chip and next thing you know, half the bag's gone and you feel guilty about it. Mm-hmm. So you have to have the mindset shifts, which is the second pillar, to be able to make better choices. So I give you the fitness, nutrition first. That kind of starts you feeling better because we know if we look good, we feel good, right?
Right.
You get to start eating healthy, some sort of movement. So that starts to build a little bit of mindset because working out is tough. It's not always easy. And then we go into practicing gratitude, journaling. I have a character development sheet that if you, everything I teach, you have to have intent. Now you can't half-ass the work I give you.
Right.
You have purpose and intent to do the work, right? So I realized that journaling, practicing gratitude, and having positive affirmations is like one of the most easiest unrated things that you can do.
Yeah.
And when we write things down, right? And we write things down with intent. So for instance, I have a current journal out called the Battlefitted Blueprint. It's a 30-day journal, but if you write in it with intent and you follow the instructions to a plan, it will basically show you your 1, 3, and 5-year goals because it gives you the purpose. It asks you the questions, what do you want to do? Why do you want to do it? How are you going to do it? So you have to be very specific and like
intentional. Yeah. Right.
And if you write things down, whether it's every day or put it somewhere where you can see it and you see this over and over and over again, the reps and the routine is what starts to change your mindset. And then my last pillar is just discipline. It's basically giving you the healthy habits, the tools to continue to work when our time is done, because I don't want to coach you forever. I really don't. I want you to be able to take care of yourself. And then you can take that and take those tools and pass it on to whoever you want. So.
Do you find resistance, especially from men, when it comes to this kind of stuff? Like probably not the mental, I'm sorry, not the physical activity or the eating, right? Maybe. But I'm thinking more of the journaling aspect or that kind of aspect. I would think that men resist that a little bit. Do you find that at all, that there's resistance?
I think each client individually, because of their mindset, they're going to resist some part. Like you said, whether it's the fitness. A lot of people don't like to do any form of activity. They claim they don't have enough time or they're too busy. A lot of men, you're right, don't like to journal. A lot of men don't like to talk about their mental health.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
They're trying to break the stigma and all that. Mm-hmm. But there's a beautiful thing in what I do because anybody that comes to me, they can't give me an answer to get out of what I want you to do. Because if you say, well, you don't know what you're talking about because I have trauma. Well, guess what? I have plenty of trauma. I have
trauma for
days, weeks, months, and years. And well, I can't change my mindset. No, you don't want to change your mindset. You have to, I say this so much to the point that maybe I need to get this like tattooed on my chest or something. I say, you have to have a limitless belief system, not a limiting belief system. Okay. I just did a post about this today. I literally wrote down on a piece of paper, I can't is one of the worst things you can always say for yourself. I crossed it out with a red marker and I said, I will. So you have to make those shifts, not only with how you speak, how you think, how you perceive yourself, but you have to be able to think that too. And you have to be able to think that internally and externally.
Do you find like, you know, being that you are a vet, so you've worked with a lot of vets and been around them and you're also a former law enforcement officer and all that. So I guess my question is, how do you create that safe space for men then? Because not a lot of men, at least for the men that I've spoken to, like to talk about trauma, right? So I'm just wondering what is like some of the things, or maybe there's a first step that you can think of to take so that these men can open up. Maybe they've never opened up before or they don't feel safe opening up, right? So as they're listening to you, they're like, well, yeah, I got a lot of crap going on in my life, but I don't know if I trust anybody. So how do you create that safe space?
So first of all, and that's an amazing question, is trying to network with the right people. I'm starting to meet more law enforcement professionals that are either higher ranking or they're in good areas of chain of command. And they're all preaching what I'm preaching. We got to stop veteran and first responder suicide. First responder suicide lies.
Yeah.
The problem that I realized from my own personal experience, we go through all this hard stuff. We go through this hard day and then we get home and we don't know how to stop and pause and decompress from that. So we bring that into our marriage. We bring that into our relationship with our kids. We bring that into our relationship with our family and friends. And then those people create distance for us and we get angry because we're like, why are you distancing yourself from me? So the more for a coach and even probably for you, the more networking we can do, the more people I can get in front of, the more people I can speak to, the more good I can do. The more I'm trying to advocate where I can actually go into law enforcement departments and speak to them and tell them like, look, and try to talk to the chain of command. Look, like realize, you know, you guys deal with a lot of bad stuff day in and day out with no reward, all risk. You have to start listening to your troops and your people. You can't overwork them. Can't expect them to be robots. They have lives outside of law enforcement and you have to be able to adopt a culture. It's all about changing the culture. You have to be able to adopt a culture to change that. We have to do better. Like there's just too much of an old way of thinking between the military and law enforcement and first responders that you're not allowed to talk about trauma. So what I do is if someone's very resistant, one-on-one coaching is what's best for them because they're just talking to me. Eventually you hope you can, I don't want to say break them, but get them to a point where they can break down and realize that they need some sort of help. But if you want a like-minded tribe, I do small group coaching. And when I do small group coaching, I only take 8 to 10 people max because I want you to have, in the military, they have what they call a battle buddy, someone that's always has your back, someone that has someone that's going to help you in your time of need. So I like to build this network of a tribe mind community where they can lean on each other. They can speak their truths in the group setting when we have our online group meetings or whatever. So there's two outlets there for either person to try to beat their trauma. And when I say beat your trauma, I tell everybody, my PTSD did not go away. My major depressive disorder did not go away. My anxiety did not go away, but I'm more apt to deal with it now with the tools that I created. And on top of that, because of the gratitude and the positive affirmations and everything that I do, I've had more bad days than good. And that's the goal.
What do you do? Like, okay, so I know that you were speaking of, you started with, right? Like exercise and all of that, like forging resilience through movement, basically, right? So I'm just wondering, because you talked about just now about how you didn't get rid of it, but you learned to manage it and deal with it. And, you know, kind of, I guess you kind of know when it's coming and you get ahead of it, right? So I'm just wondering if you can share maybe with us like a story where you use these tools or consistent movement helped you or a client, you know, maybe turn that mental corner, right? Because maybe somebody's listening and it's like, okay, but where do I begin? Okay, journaling's great, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what do I do here, right? How do I turn that mental corner?
Great. That's a beautiful question. So fitness, apparently, and I tell everybody this, fitness, I think it saved my life. I really do. So when I got out of the military and I lost my purpose, I got very depressed and angry. And, you know, here I did 10 years. I made the halfway mark and I got out due to injuries. But I was angry that I never was going to make my retirement, right? And that's the scary thing when you don't have a pension after all this time you put into somewhere, you don't have health insurance anymore. Like, once again, everything goes away overnight. And I remember in 2007, me and my friends, we all decided to do a mud run. It was our very first mud run ever. It was called Warrior Dash up in Tampa. So we drove from Jacksonville, Florida up to Tampa. And one of my buddies that came with us, one of the veterans, he was a professional photographer. He's like, I'm going to take photos of all you guys during your race. And so we do the race. I remember like being just over 300 pounds, barely being able to move.
Wow.
Pain on my back, pain on my knees, mentally just drained. You could see the despair in my eyes in the pictures, just barely could breathe. And at the time I was a young guy, I think I was like in my 30s when I got out.
That was pretty bold though, to go to that kind of run when you are overweight and you feel fatigued. That was really bold of you.
Well, once again, I was lying to myself, right? Like, I would go to the gym and lift weights, but I wouldn't stop what I put in my mouth. Mm. I wouldn't do the right exercises. I had the knowledge for being fit in the military, but once again, in the military, they don't teach you like how to keep that over time. Once you get to a certain point and you've been in the military for a while, fitness is up to you. Like, they don't force you, as far as in the Navy, for the places I was at, they didn't force you to work out. You had to do that yourself. And luckily in the Navy during my time, I had a younger guy that we became friends, and he was like a bodybuilder, and he taught me a lot, and I learned a lot. But as soon as I got out of the military, like I said, I lost my community. I lost my tribe. I lost everybody that I knew. So it was very scary. When I saw those photos, I was like, oh crap, like this is not good. This is not healthy. And I knew at that point, like that was the shift where I had to do the hard things that I didn't want to do, which was be honest with myself, watch what I'm putting in my mouth, and work out properly. And that was the shift that got me down from like, at my lowest, at one point I was 12% body fat. I think I'm like 20% now, which is still not even considered obese, but I was like 38% body fat, where I was considered like obese. So once again, it's all about having that wake up call. Like, if you're miserable all the time, you know, you have to decide when or how you're going to change. Otherwise it's the insanity loop of doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
Results. Right.
Yeah. But I think this is why I say this a lot, but I mean it. Like, every coach needs a coach. Doctor needs a doctor. Every therapist needs a therapist. And the reason I say that is, to your point, we do go through the loop though. I mean, we stay in the loop, right? And it's unless somebody interrupts that, or a moment happens, you keep going through the loop and saying, I feel like shit, but then you wake up and do the same thing. I feel like shit, but you wake up and do, it's this thing, right? Like, we just get accustomed to the loop, if you will. And I love that you're like disrupting that for a lot of these men. Now, do you only work with men, or do you work with both genders?
I work with literally anybody that wants my help, even kids up to a point, depending on age, what they're going through, and with parents' permissions, if they're like under, you know, 16, 17 years old. So.
And how is the program run? What does it look like for someone to work with you? Is it like one, you know, is it just like a one-off? Is it like 6 months, or how long is that?
So my program for both one-on-one coaching and the group coaching lasts 60 days for the group coaching, 90 days for the one-on-one coaching.
I love that. Okay.
A little more, but in that time, I try to give you, I've always believed in whatever we do in life, you got to like overvalue it. You got to give more than what you would typically get. And not only does that help obviously in business, but that helps in our life as well.
Yeah.
I just try to deliver an overwhelming amount of value. Anybody can book a consultation with me. It's absolutely free. It's just a 30 minute. And most of the time, it's not even going to go 30 minutes to say, hey, I'm Coach Rob. Get a chance to look at you, you know, and say, hey, what can I help you with? No matter how small, how big. And then from there, I have, you know, questionnaires and different things to kind of see where they're going to be at, if they would be better for one-on-one or better for small group. So it's just, first you have to, at the end of the day, if you don't want help, I can't help you.
Right.
You have to want to help yourself. That's taking accountability for your actions and saying, I have to do something. And I love how you said, even coaches need coaches. Even times I have to reach out to my mentors. I have to reach out to my business mentors. I have to reach out to my friends that have my back. And, you know, I have that one best friend that no matter what, if it's 3 a.m. and I feel like crap, I can call him.
Yeah.
And I think support is good. And that's
so good.
That's another issue or stigma I'm trying to break and work on, because as men, if you ask your husband, babe, are you okay? He's like, I'm fine. We're not fine.
I know.
And women don't know, you know, they don't want to poke and prod, because you don't want to start a fight. You don't want to start an argument. You don't want to put strain on the marriage or the relationship. But at the same time, you have to look for signs, and you have to kind of watch what they're doing, because most of the time we're not okay. We just don't know how to deal with it. We weren't trained how to deal with it. We weren't taught how to deal with it. And really, I guess my life's work is trying to break that stigma. It's okay to not.
Yeah. No, exactly. You know, I don't know if you've seen that viral video from that gentleman that's sitting down with a spool of wire. My husband sent that to me, and I just started crying. And then I like called him immediately, and I said, do I ever make you feel that way? I'm so sorry. Because men don't say it like out. They'll say it with a story or the spool of wire or whatever. And sometimes we can be very dismissive because we're not understanding the deepness of what they're trying to say at that moment, right? So he was like, sometimes you do, babe. I said, all right, we need to talk. I need to fix that and we need to talk about it because, you know, men, you know, they're not like women. We say all kinds of shit that comes out on our mind and men are a little bit more reserved about that kind of stuff. And so that really spoke to me deeply, that video. And I'm so grateful that they sent it out there because it's become viral. But I think we need to pause and realize that especially men who have been in military, what you're saying, Robert, is completely true. I've even spoken to other vets on my show who have talked about when I left the military, I did not know myself. I felt lost. I felt unconnected. I felt all these things. And I'm like, I never thought of that. The struggle of like, I would think, oh yeah, you're free, but that's not what happens. Mm-hmm. You actually feel less free because you don't have that structure, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I think in society, regardless of military or not, if you don't have purpose, that's a very scary, dangerous place.
Scary.
Purpose. We all want to know or feel like we're doing the right thing. We're on the right path. And sometimes I'm just a pathfinder. I help you find your way back to whatever that path may be. And once again, it could be you want another job, but you don't know how to get out. You want a divorce, but you don't know how to get out. You want to be a better parent, but you don't know how to do it. Like, I'm not the end all be all. I'm still learning every day myself how I work and how things work and how I can be a better partner for my wife. Mm-hmm. But once again, if I need help, I know I have to ask. That's the first step, I guess, to anything, even in a recovery, you have to be able to ask for help.
Yeah. And it's not so scary once you do. That's the thing. Like, we just make it a little bit more scarier than it needs to be because most people, especially those who love you, really want to help. Yeah. They really do. And so we get so afraid to ask, but that's just our own, you know, that's our own hangups that we have to get rid of. But I love what you're doing, Robert, and I love how you're reaching others, and I love how you're working with so many people, and especially our men out there, because they're always told to be strong and the head of the house and all these other things, and all this weight falls on them, except the humanity part sometimes, you know, especially old school, right? That's just the old school mentality where men were just the head of the house, had to bring home the bacon and all that kind of stuff, and all that pressure, you know? So I want to know, and I'm sure everybody who's listening wants to know, how do people get in contact with you to talk to you? I know that you said you give 30 minutes for free. People can talk to you about what they're looking for. And I'm sure that this is probably resonating very deeply, especially to the men out there who are like, oh, finally, somebody who gives a crap and has been through something and can help me with it. So tell us how people can reach you.
That's great. And before I get into that, I love what you said. You know, for me, I think the strength of a man, you can still protect, provide, and preside over your family and guide them, but it makes you stronger to be able to have those honest, deeper conversations with the person you love.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, when you're in a marriage or a relationship or whatever, you have to be a team. And to have a successful relationship, it's all about not what you can get out of it, but what you can give. Me and my wife give each other the world as far as emotionally, mentally, physically. And we're always trying to outdo each other in that way. And what that does is that creates unity, a bond that can't be broken. And we have inside jokes and we finish each other's sentences. And it's a very weird but amazing thing at the same time to be able to feel like I'm going to be with this person until the day I die because they get me. That's my person. Like, I tell my wife all the time, she's the female version of me. And I needed that to be able to be in love and be happy and feel what I need to feel. So as a man, having emotions makes you strong.
Yeah, yeah.
More resilient than the people that are saying, I have to hide, I have to be on guard, I have to be mean or big and sick. No, like it doesn't make you weak. There's times in our life where you have to show strength, whether it's protecting your family or a life-threatening situation, but it's okay to cry. It's okay to show emotion. Once again, it's okay to not be okay. But people can always reach me at my website, which is battlefittedbrand.com. There has all my links. You can always go to my podcast, the Battle Harder Podcast, which Nina is going to be guest on. And we'll have another amazing conversation.
I'm sure we will.
And then I'm on social media, literally everywhere at Battlefitted. My biggest platform is Instagram right now. But I'm the kind of guy, like, no matter how big Coach Rob gets. I'm always going to be there. I'm going to always answer DMs, providing it's not spam DMs, but you need help, reach out. I do have some free resources that I will literally give out to anybody. One being 5 Steps on Building Mental Resilience is a really easy, quick read of a book. I call it a mini manual. And that's just about it. Battlefittedbrand.com is the best place to get it. Or find me on social media.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for being on my show and for just helping my audience understand that this is not something that needs to be a stigma, but something that just can be an everyday conversation, as it should be. We should not be losing anyone to, you know, taking their own life at all, ever. And so, like, there's always help or someone who wants to help you and someone who really does care. And Robert, that's you. And I really appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. And I appreciate how you're pouring your life out for others. So thank you so much for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank your Latina wife for kicking your butt and making you do the things you do.
I'm glad she is. A little spitball of fire.
Yeah, that's right. For tell her from one Latina to another. All right. I love it. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me and Robert. I know he's such a good human being. I'm going to make sure to list all of his information below. I want to make sure you follow him on his socials, go onto his website, go ahead and get those free resources, but also share this with someone. If you know someone is in need of just talking and taking things out and just maybe they want to get their life on track, but just quite don't know how to get there, I think Robert is the guy for you. So I'm going to make sure to list all of that so you can get in contact with them. I love you guys so much. Thank you guys for blowing up my channel and making it grow the way you are. You are such an amazing amount of straight talkers. Thank you so much. This is Nina Perez. This is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.